Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report, where I cover stock market investing through the millennial lens. I am your host, Brett Rosenthal. This is a live trading desk. It's 12 o'clock noon. I'm managing real assets, both my own and that for high net worth individuals. And what I'm going to share with you on this desk today and every day at 12 o'clock are tools that we use in the millennial market. This isn't your dad's stock market, certainly not your granddad's. You know, your dad didn't have internet. Think about that for a minute. Your dad was managing money with no internet and no cell phone. Now we have internet, we have email, we have Twitter, and we have cell phones that are like little computers. So you've got information coming at you from all sides all the time. And what you need are millennial tools to manage that information flow. Because not all the information is worth anything as an investor. So what we do on our trading desk is that we use proprietary algorithms to sift through the rubble of information and come up with a foundation of how to build a portfolio. So this is information directly off of a live trading desk. We're going to focus on the interaction between traditional fundamental analysis and millennial execution tools. It's a good thing. It's a lucky thing I made it here today. We had we moved into a new house, and apparently there's some birds that are living in our exhaust fan right above our stove. So it's been a pretty hectic morning. But hopefully that'll get sorted out later today. And in the meantime, let's get to the news of the day and then look at that news through the lens of algorithms to see whether or not it's worth anything. Okay, and what I hear all over financial news networks, certainly in my inbox everywhere, everybody's throwing their hat in the ring about whether or not the bull market's over, the top is in, there's a recession coming, blah, blah, blah. I am not going to waste your time on that topic. Care if the top is in and the top's not in. Let me tell you why. I've been doing this over 30 years. Nobody knows if the top is in. Nobody. And the guy who gets it right this cycle will get blown apart in the next cycle. That's just a fact. I could create for you a list a mile long of all the brilliant pundits that got it right in one cycle and were blown out of the water in the next. John Paulson's one name that comes to mind. But the list is a mile long. So we don't waste our time on this desk trying to guess what the market's doing next. That's not the information that I'm going to be sharing with you every day. We don't have an algorithm that is some type of crystal ball that says, yep, all of these things have happened, so now the market has to go up or down. Those type of tools are worthless. Even if they're right for a certain period of time, they're destined for failure. And destructive failure, because what happens is you start to believe that they're right, and then you go all in, and of course that's when they're wrong. So we try to avoid the guessing game, because nobody really knows the top's in or not. All we're trying to do is make money on this trading desk. Do we want to be long, in cash, or short? The homepage of our website, rosenthalcapital.com, has a risk on, risk off monitor that we update as fast as we can each day if things change. And on that monitor, you'll see, I'll give you a minute, you can go to it, rosenthalcapital.com. You'll see that we have a risk-off setup for all five of the major indexes, and no piece of news or prognostication or guessing is going to change that fact. I heard one guy today say the bull market's going to go on for another 5 years based on his model. And another guy say that the bull market ended 2 months ago. So, I mean, clearly, nobody knows. And I'll tell you something. The guy who says it's going to go on for the next 5 years is at the very least, that guy is on the right side of probability and statistics. He's given himself a wide range. The market can drop 50% this year, but be higher 5 years from now, and he can look back and say, see, I told you so. But does that really help you to suffer through a 50% decline in your assets and to have them be at or a little bit above where they were 5 years ago and say, hey, we're okay. We bought and held through that. No, it really doesn't help you. You need to protect capital and capture the upside. That's the game. And on our desk, we use algorithms to do that. And I try to share with you some of the information off the desk just so you can get a feel for how to use algorithms to help you in your investment process. And step one, look at the big five indexes, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Dow, the small cap, the mid cap, and see whether or not there's a risk on or risk off setup for these indexes. All five right now are risk off. But you will see on that monitor, we try to highlight if there's groups that we're focusing on. And that's what we're going to talk about a bit today later in the show. There are two groups, and it's on our website. You'll see what they are. It's the gold stocks, mining companies, gold and mining companies. And we continue our focus on the cannabis stocks. And I'll get to that in a minute. So that's what I have to say, I guess, about the news stories. We don't care about, you know, the news story coming out of Saudi Arabia and how that might be affecting the markets. Don't think it is. We don't care about the Chinese trade talks. We made too much money from July through September to worry about China trade talks, because God knows they were, you know, awful during that 3 month period. The market went straight up. So that's not a reason why the market's going down. If you had to force me to say, okay, Brett, there's got to be one thing that's on your mind from a negative standpoint. And I'd say you're right. I mean, I'm not a computer. I am a human. So I keep thinking about what the market's going to do. But I try not to let that cloud my judgment when it comes to execution. But I'd have to go with Jim Cramer on this, say he's probably right. The market has been going up for a long time because of central bank intervention. And then when we say this is a millennial market, this is very important to understand. After 2008, central bankers did things never before heard of or thought possible or accepted in the markets. Central banks were buying and are still today buying equities, equity indexes, corporate bonds. That's not what happened in your dad's stock market. Totally unacceptable for the Fed to buy corporate bonds. All the Fed did was use government bonds and their mandate to rein in inflation and create a stable economy for job growth by, you know, using tools like interest rates and government bonds. Never before could they run out there and buy sovereign bonds to help prop up Greece. I mean, forget it. But after 2008, the long arm of the law changed market behavior. I can tell you right now, yeah, I think the market's topped. I think Jim Cramer's right when he says that Chairman Powell is singing a different tune. Janet Yellen and Bernanke were, singing a tune of, we will print money and buy all types of assets without any regard for precedent in an effort to save the financial system. And Chairman Powell has said, we're done doing that. And we're going to raise rates to a point that is neutral so that we can then use interest rates to stimulate the economy if necessary, but inflation won't get away from us. And that's the single biggest concern to me in the market. It doesn't mean the market has to go down, though. That's the incredibly strange thing. Because we have a global community, we have central banks all over the world. And so while our central bank can be, quote, tightening or raising rates, you don't know what the Japanese central bank is doing. And you'll never know the Chinese could be out there, you know, threatening to sell treasuries. In the meantime, they're buying S&P futures. I mean, you'd never know, and you'll never know. And that's why you can't focus on those types of things to manage a portfolio. So we use algorithms. Right now, the algorithms say stay out of the market. But the algorithms do say focus on precious metals mining companies and cannabis stocks. Which I'm going to get to in one more second, but let me just finish my opening remarks about the market direction, which was one thought. The most important ingredient right now is going to be patience in this market. Patience. I have people direct messaging me on Twitter or emailing me, asking me questions about when we're going to start short selling. Because I, as I keep saying on our risk monitor, we're in cash. We're not shorting. And you can, of course, direct message me on Twitter at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T, that's one T, Rosenthal. You can always send us an email via our website. Just click on the contact button, and I'll try to get to them during these half an hour long shows at 12 o'clock every day or every trading day. And so the big question that I'm getting is, when are we going to start shorting? And okay, let me just run over this again. I mean, I talked about it on Friday, but I got a lot of questions. So let's go over it again. There's a step in between long and short, and it's cash. Rule number seven, it's cash. For two reasons. Number one, the sell-off was so aggressive that before I'm going to get short, I need to rally back. I don't short weakness, I short strength. So number one, I need a rally of some degree bigger than what we're seeing right now. I mean like a rip higher back to the 50-day moving average, which is now in a downtrend. And when that happens, I might short at the 50 with a tight cover. Okay. But right now, we're in no man's land. We're not at the 50. We've just had a nasty correction. You know, if you look at the top of January, it took 3 months for the market to bottom before there was a viable opportunity. So that takes a lot of patience to wait 3 months before you buy the markets. And during that three-month period, there was no reason to be shorting. And I'm not talking about day trading now. Certainly you can day trade all you want. But when it comes to position taking, there was no reason to short. Because what happened in February, March, and April was that the market set up a perfect buying opportunity off the bottom. And if you're wasting your time losing money trying to short, you're never going to buy right, and you miss a much bigger move on the upside. The best time to short is when the 50-day moving average and the 200-day moving average are in downtrends. That's where all the money's made short. Statistically speaking, that's where your money's made short. And the reason is, statistically speaking, and whenever I give you these tidbits of information from 30 years of doing this, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, it's going to be statistics based on algorithms that I've run, trying to come up with answers for these very questions that I'm getting emailed and asked. I've been there. I've thought these things through, and I've run programs and algorithms to tell me when's the best time to put shorts out. Where's all the money made? Well, guess what? 80% of the time, the market goes up. Okay, so you have to understand that the minute you start shorting, you're statistically behind the eight ball in a major way. Now, that 20% of the time it goes down, you can make a lot of money quick, and that's the rub, right? There's the reward. It can be worth the risk because the reward can be huge. But what we've discovered here on our algo desk from our, don't forget, ARMR report. ARMR stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. And what we found in that research is that the bulk of the money made short comes when the 50 and the 200 day are in downtrends. And what we tend to do when that begins happening, you're in a bona fide bear market. And what you do is, every time it rallies back up to that downtrend or those moving averages, you put your shorts out. And when it craters back down to the lows and takes out the lows by a certain degree, statistically speaking, using algorithms, we end up booking profits and waiting for the next rally and put the short out again. And we do that until the market sets up a bottom that we want to buy. But we're not there yet. We're not even close. Let's just take a look at the S&P, for instance. The 50 is finally rolling over, which we haven't seen in a long time, but it's only been doing that for 3 days. 50-day moving average is in a downtrend. It's been in a downtrend for only 3 days. So let's don't get too excited about short selling yet. And the 200-day is still in an uptrend. So it's like no man's land is what's going on right now. So if we're going to short, we need a rally back up to a downtrending 50, which is a huge rally from here. We're talking 276, I think. Is that what that is? 276 up to 287? $11 in the S&P, SPY? That'd be a pretty serious run. So the alternative is that the market will just kind of churn sideways in here until the 50-day comes down. And maybe we're shorting at 282 or 284 with the 50-day in a real downtrend that's been going on for more than 3 days and the market popping up to meet it. And then, boom, that might be an interesting point to put some money to work short. But not right now. And we don't know how the market's going to play out. It could set up a beautiful bottom. We're going to get long. So no shorting right now. Not for us, not for a position taking. Certainly day traders can do whatever they want. But the key is going to be patience in a market like this. Just relax. You're not going to miss anything. It took 3 months earlier this year to set up a viable bottom. So let's see how the market behaves and see how what kind of a situation it forms. And when we get a risk-reward entry point, like we had after that 3 months correction in April, we had this nice risk-reward entry point. Put money to work. Boom, started making money. And in the meantime, let's focus on the groups that are going to capture cash in this market. And I can't believe that I'm going to say this. I hate saying this, okay, because it's so hard to make money in gold. It's so hard to make money in mining stocks. In the last, 5-6 years, it's been brutal. But I told you on Friday we were getting long GDX. We were making money Friday. We're up again today. So the algorithm was telling us the reward to risk is worth it. And it's correct because now we're making money. We can raise our stop to break even to wall off our risk. And we can see how much money we can make on this transaction. Gold's always a transaction to me. It's not a long-term investment. But those mining stocks got absolutely trashed, as did gold. And so we were picking gold stocks up. GDX is the symbol. We like to trade ETFs here, Millennial Tool Exchange Traded Funds. And so we own GDX. And of course, look, you could buy GDXJ. You could dip into those ETFs and look at what the biggest holdings are and buy the individual stocks. But you know, for my money on the trading desk, I'm happy with GDX. I don't need the extra risk of the small cap stocks right now. I just want to see if I can make some money in this asset. It's not easy. Okay. So you got to figure out what your exposure should be based on your own risk tolerance. And you may not want to do this. You know, it's just totally acceptable to sit in cash and wait for the next setup in the S&P. But we're going to own some miners here. Looks like gold has bottomed. And so far that's been an accurate assessment. That's the beauty of the algorithms. It kind of gets rid of the emotion of the situation. And last week it said, hey, it's time to own gold, time to own gold stocks, put the capital to work. And of course we also own the cannabis stocks. Gosh, they look good. I got a theory for you here. First of all, we were never really stopped out of the cannabis trade to begin with. So we bought MJ, which is the ETF, $27 a share. It's trading at 41 right now. We booked some profits on this run up here. So now we're looking to put that full position back on after a consolidation or weakness. And we've got the consolidation, and today is the follow-through day that's going to take us out here and suggest that we add more to the pie. I'll have you know, on our desk, we were buying more this morning, on right around the open this morning. And we're going to add to that position by the end of the day. I think it's incredible how those stocks are trading. Market got destroyed last week, and those stocks held up remarkably well. And they're breaking out again, leaving the whole market. And I think here's the reason why. You know, everyone right now, and I'll get to this in a minute, hates the FANG stocks. Oh, the FANG stocks are over. And they may be right about that. I don't know. We'll use the algorithms, and we'll put money to work in the FANG stocks when we get the next opportunity. But if we're going into a recession, if the bull market is over, there is a huge amount of profits that are trapped in these FANG type of names and all kinds of names, NVIDIA, all these high flyers from the last cycle, all the cloud companies. There's a lot of gains that are in there. And if we're going into a new type of market and a rotation, those gains are going to be booked. Guess what? There aren't a lot of people who have huge amounts of gains in the cannabis stocks. That first flush off the bottom, that rush off the bottom that we captured here on our trading desk and we shared with you on the 15th of August, we said now's the time. Our algorithm says this is the right reward risk opportunity. At 27, the stock's 41. It's only been 2 months. That's a huge move. But guess what? That's basically shorts covering. There's a huge amount of capital trying to get into this space. If you think that first move off the bottom is over, it's not even remotely begun yet. It hasn't even begun yet. At 27, nobody liked the marijuana stocks. They were at the lows of the year, and they were at multi-year lows. So that first move off of a multi-year low bottom is really just shorts covering and the first smart people getting involved. Over the next X amount of months, the real institutional investment is going to be pouring into this space. And take on this idea. Number one, it's a growth space. So you're going to get growth stock type of earnings with these companies. But number two, it's a defensive space. If we actually go into a recession, do you think that affects the cannabis stocks? No. That's why they're going to attract capital in the likes of which you've never seen happen. This is my opinion now, right? I'm going to use algorithms, and I'm going to trade based on those algorithms. And when the cannabis stocks get overextended, we'll be booking profits, and on weakness, we'll be adding to positions. But just fundamentally speaking, you have a new growth sector that also is a safety sector during an economic recession. It's like a perfect storm for these stocks, and that's why they don't really go down. Market craters, they barely suffer. Now they're blowing out. Market's having a couple of days where it stopped going down, and MJ is up 6% today. And of course, the stocks in MJ are up even more. You got CGC, the leading stock, which is Canopy, is up 10%. Tilray is up 7%. A new small name that I've been doing research on, we think is interesting, is NBEV. I don't own it. I'm not telling you to own it. Okay? You'll do your own research on that. It's up 15%. I mean, these stocks are blowing out. So we're going to add more of MJ at the end of the day if it closes like this. We bought some this morning. We'll add more to it. And on any weakness, if the market breaks down again and makes new lows and they bring MJ down, we'll be looking to add more based on the algorithm. So those are the two groups we're looking at. Now, it's true. We do also own still a position in our pipelines. Our energy pipelines, geez, man, they pay over the 8% yield. I mean, I think it's 9% now? I'm thinking after fees, it's 8%, I think. Yeah, 9.4%, and I think it's like 8.6 or something, 8.7 after the fee that AMLP collects. So you don't have to worry about K-1s. AMLP is the symbol, pays 9.4% after fees, about 8.6 or 8.7. That's incredible yield. So if it just bounces along the bottom here in the $10 range, I'm just going to collect that yield. As long as my principal doesn't get attacked, then I should be able to just collect that yield. So, to wrap up, let me just mention that I've heard over the last X amount of years, probably the last decade, that periodically the FANG stocks are done. And we're hearing that again today. FANG stocks are done. Facebook's over. People are leaving Facebook and moving to Instagram, which of course is owned by Facebook. Okay? Nobody's getting off of Twitter. Okay? Amazon's one of the greatest companies in the world, fundamentally will continue to be. Google, these stocks aren't going anywhere. They're going through a normal correction. FANG stocks are over. They're not over. Every time, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that in the last 10 years, I still wouldn't have made as much money as if I just owned those stocks. You see what I'm saying? Happens all the time. People always call the top in these stocks. We're going to use the algorithm on our desk. When we get an entry point, we're going to be long. Because the reward, if we're right, is clearly worth the risk. But we're not long right now. The only groups we're focusing on to wrap up here are the gold stocks. Yes, you can buy gold, GLD, silver, SLV, many different ways to play it. We're focusing on GDX. These stocks are so oversold, it's ridiculous. So let's see if they can continue to go higher. But beware. On our desk, we're in from last week. We're already up a lot in a very short period of time on the asset, and we've raised our stop to break even. So we're not going to allow ourselves to lose money in this asset, but we are going to see if from here we've caught the right entry point, and we'll see if we can get a real move. And we're going to continue to focus on the marijuana stocks. It just seems like a win-win no matter how you look at it. And at the end of today, we will have a follow-on risk-on entry point for MJ. The first risk on entry point was $27 a share. This will be the second risk on entry point. Obviously, risk is a lot higher. You're at higher prices. And we're going to use our stop. Okay, don't get too carried away with my fundamental opinion of the marijuana companies. We think they're going to be huge over a long period of time, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot of volatility. We'll take some losses on some entry points. I'm sure they'll hit stops every now and then. This could be it. I don't know. But when we get a risk on entry, we put capital to work. It's that simple. Okay? And be patient. When it comes to the overall market, just because the market may be up today doesn't mean you've missed it. You don't have to chase it. In fact, and I'll leave you with this thought. If the market just skyrockets back up to the 50-day, we will be looking to short. Okay? After a collapse, if there's a V-bottom right back up, that would be a negative sign to me and a sign that we'd want to start putting some shorts out. If the market stops here and goes lower and builds a base here on the 200-day, then we're going to be leaning towards the long side based on the algorithms. But if it rips higher from here, there won't be an algorithm on our desk that gets long. And instead, it'll start getting short. All right? Well, I'll keep you up to date on that. Keep your eyes on our website, rosenthalcapital.com. Follow us on Twitter, #ArmorReport. I'll speak to you again tomorrow. Have a safe day trading.